First Peter chapter number 3. I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. Peter starts out here in 8 by winding down the chapter. He says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and who is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." I want to look in these verses just for a little bit this evening. And I want to concentrate on verse number 18 and a thought there. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Put to death in the flesh. I was looking at that, how that God said, you know, what happened to the Lord there on the cross. Everything that Peter begins to talk about at the end, finally, brethren, and he starts telling them things that if we were to do, it would put us in the top of the Christian class. Things that the Lord wants us to do. Things we should be doing. Be all of one mind. I mean, just trying to figure out how to do that. How to get everybody in one mind. How do you get everybody in one mind? Well, everybody has to be centered on one person, and that's Christ. One gospel. That's the gospel of Christ. One goal. That's to reach the world with that gospel. Everybody's got to be of one mind. Our minds, our thinking is the same. Why? Because we have the same book. We have the same doctrine. Same beliefs. Same Holy Spirit that dwells in us. You'd think it wouldn't be too hard to be of one mind. But it's hard to get whole churches everywhere to be in one mind and in one accord. They were in the book of Acts. They were of one mind and one accord. The Bible said they were all of one heart. Think about that. Love as brethren. Now, notice how he said that. He didn't just say, love one another, because families love one another, friends, they love one another, but they, you know, may even have issues in that love. He said, love as brethren. Love as brethren. That's God's love. That's love that restores a brother. Love that fellowships with a brother. That admonishes one another. That prays sincerely for one another. That's that kind of love. Love as brethren. Listen, we're not strangers in here tonight. I've got sisters in Christ in here. I've got brothers in Christ in here. My brothers and sisters, not strangers, brethren. And we're to love one another as brethren. He said, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. He's talking about the Spirit now. Be pitiful. He's not saying for us to sit there with our lip pooched out. That's not the pitiful he's talking about. He's talking about in spirit. the kind of spirit that you and I have should make our brethren can't help but to love us. Can't help but want to sit beside of us and smile at us and see if there's anything we can do for one another. To be ahead. These are things. Listen, God put this in here. He didn't put it in here for us just to look at it. He wants us to live it. What we say, practice. It's more than a practice. It's our life. It's who we become, who we are. And he tells us, be pitiful, be courteous. Courteous. In this day, the devil has taught people, you first. If you have to, run them over to get ahead of them. To get around them. What about being courteous? Christian courtesy. Now he's talking about these things, and then down in verse 8, he's talking about Christ's suffering. He suffered for our sins to bring you and I a salvation that produces this in our life. You talk about a better life. I'm not suffering for my sin. He suffered for me. And now, I who had no love am filled with His love. Not rendering evil for evil. Just in reading these things, I want you to look at it. Just in reading these things, he's telling us how to be. And he's showing us the things that we need to stay away from at the same time. Not rendering evil for evil. I'll tell you, if we've ever been in a time where people want to get back at one another, it's today. I mean, just awful. Now, so, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. See, we're called, this Christian calling, this spiritual heritage that the Lord has given to us, that Christ paid for on Calvary, that you and I can love life in verse 10 and see good days. And he tells us more over and over again these things to do. And he says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. God is looking upon us. The Lord is seeing us. He's looking upon us. What he has done for us at Calvary 2,000 years ago and what he has given to us, and now he is beholding. What are we doing with it? What am I doing with this great gift that the Lord has given me freely? For he that will love life, you love life? I mean, really love life. He that will love life. There's nothing wrong with loving life. The Lord wants us to have an abundant life. I've come, you might have life and have it more abundantly. He that will love life. Some people absolutely hate their life. What is going on in someone's mind and in their soul and their spirit that they detest or hate life. They don't have the right life. They don't have the right life. If you've got the right life in you, the life of Christ, you're going to love life. You love Christ? Do you love life? Do you love life? Do you love Christ? Do you want to see good days? Christ died that you could see good days. And I'm not even talking about out there in eternity. Wow! What good days there are ahead of us. There's an old preacher one time up over there in Robbinsville. They had some guy had stopped him. He was in his last days, and they stopped and they said, "Preacher, you about seen your best days, hadn't you?" He said, "Oh no, my best days are yet to come." But the Lord, listen, you can have good days here. See good days. See good days. God wants you to see good days. Do you love life? Do you want to see good days? That's the blessing that he's talking about here. In verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, what a blessing. The Christ life, eternal life. The spirit life in you and I. Well, if you want to do that, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. If we want to see good days, we should speak good words. If we love life, it's not just our life we love. Our neighbor's life. He that will love life. Do you love that life beside your own? Do you love that life down the road? Refrain from speaking evil about that person. Saying something evil. Don't let evil come out of your mouth. Listen, that should not be in your heart. If that is, repent of that. Get that out of your heart, that kind of stuff doesn't come forth from your tongue. If you love life and you want to see good days, don't speak guile. Let him eschew evil. Do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. I want to be at peace with people. And not just peace with people, I want to be at peace with God. I want to have peace with God, and I want to have the peace of God. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So God's ears are open, his eyes beholden, and he's ready to give you the greatest blessing you've ever known. And you can see good days, love life, and that love, listen, and that sacrifice that Christ gave to you and I on the cross, then we begin to live in that blessing.
He said, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. I'm glad that it's just once that he had to do it. Not over and over. As the priest, you know, had to bring the animal sacrifices year after year after year. Could you imagine Jesus having to come every year and dying for the sins of man? He had once suffered. Once was enough. Once was enough. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. And he didn't say anybody's particular sins. He said sins. That means everybody's sins. The world. Or he would have said, Christ hath once suffered for Abraham's sins. Or for the sins of the Gentiles. But he just said, Christ hath once suffered for sins. That's the sins of Adam. Sins of humanity. The just for the unjust. Christ experienced excruciating, unimaginable pain. Him being innocent, holy, righteous. Us being sinners, wicked, ungodly, and unrighteous. The just for the unjust. You know, it just doesn't seem fair that somebody can murder, lie and steal and, you know, just do all that a man could possibly do, and then an innocent man have to die in his spot so that he can just go scot-free. That happened 2,000 years ago. You and I, not just us. Listen, there are those that are awful, awful. I mean, listen, a sinner's a sinner going to hell either way. Are you listening to me? But somehow in our mind, we think, you know, some are and some may commit worse sins, but they're going to the same hell. Are you listening? Jesus died for them just the same as he died for you and me. He suffered once. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Bring us to God. Bring us to God. You know what the Lord's trying to do right now for them that are lost? Bring you to God. The Lord himself is like those four men that brought their lame man and let him down through the roof. Christ is bringing those that are sick and afflicted and trying to bring them to God. Amen? Not trying, he is. He's bringing them to God. Our Lord, that he might bring us to God. I love that statement. Being put to death in the flesh. I don't want to try to, you know, far reach on this. But Jesus did say, I have power to lay my life down. And I have power to take it up again. Now here it says he was put to death in the flesh. Well, yeah, he laid down his life freely. He did. them soldiers nailed his hands and his feet, spit in his face, tore out his beard, put a crown of thorns on his head, beat him down with a reed, lifted him up, dropped him in the post hole as he smothered. It looks like they were putting him to death. He was the Lamb of God. God put him to death. Being put to death in the flesh. The Heavenly Father put his own son to death. That's the picture of Abraham and Isaac. He was going to put his own son to death. What love, what grace. Amen. Bless the Lord. I'm about done. When I saw that today, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. See, it was the Spirit of God that raised him from the dead. He said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it up again. And he does. And he did. But the Bible does say, Spirit of him raised up Jesus. When sometime, which he's talked about in verse 19, look at it, here's doctrine. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Do you know where that is? Do you know what that verse means? Christ went into the heart of the earth. He went and preached good tidings to them, the opening of the prison of them that were bound. See, they were in paradise. Paradise was like a prison house. Open for them, paradise, but they could not get into the third heaven where God was. Jesus went there and preached to them across the great gulf, there was hell on the other side. When the psalmist said, Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, that was the prophecy of Christ being down there where hell was. He preached to them. They heard the message of the Son of God. And you and I, we hear it and can be saved. Those in hell heard it and couldn't be saved. They'd rejected. But Christ was put to death in the flesh. That you and I could love life and see good days. What a wonderful Lord and Savior we have. We could have Christ, the Christ life in us that transforms us and brings forth this life that I knew nothing about, Brother Ronnie. I wouldn't have began to know how to live for God until the Lord saved me. I never knew there was such a thing as the living power of God. that I could have a real relationship with Him, with His Holy Spirit. Ain't that amazing? Amen. All right, I'm done for this evening. Thank you for being here. Brother Caleb, would you come? We always want to give an invitation.